April 23rd, 1995. You were reading from the writing earlier today. We have no big industry here, and we offer nothing which is anything save organic food substance. I am continually intrigued and offended at the massive piles of money spent and time wasted doing nothing by your researchers and scientists. Let me share with you one more article from the Sunday supplement to the paper today, from Parade Magazine, April 23rd, 95, page 10, quoting, "They track the deadliest viruses. A select team of medical detectives is working to seek out and stop the world's most dangerous killers."
See, they lie from the first sentence also.
"A disease that's in a faraway place today may be in our own backyard tomorrow," said Dr. James Hughes in his office at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, in Atlanta. "We're certainly not immune." A few years ago, that statement would have surprised many Americans. The advent of miracle drugs and vaccines that conquered such plagues as polio, smallpox, and even measles led many of us, including some scientists, to believe that the age of killer diseases was coming to an end. The AIDS epidemic changed that perception, of course, and the current best-selling nonfiction book, The Hot Zone, graphically illustrates how an exotic killer called the Ebola Virus, carried into Virginia in 1989 by 450 imported research monkeys, came close to breaking loose in this country. Hatton's comment, "No, the incident was from stupid technicians releasing the viruses, which had to be blamed on something."
So blame it on the poor little monkeys. You know, this is pure idiocy. And if it was so incredibly serious, why didn't they burn the building? It's still standing. They killed all the monkeys. And then what happens with AIDS? Oh, it comes from the little green monkey. These are coming right out of test tubes.
In the hit film Outbreak, Dustin Hoffman plays a doctor battling a deadly virus that neither medicine nor the U.S. government can handle.
Do you love that analogy? Neither medicine nor the U.S. government.
Hatton's comment about that in the writing is, well, one's just as stupidly inept as the other. I visited Dr. Hughes, the director of the National Center for Infectious Diseases at the CDC, to find out how realistic those scare stories might be. The first thing I learned was that the threat of new diseases is real. Quote, "I firmly believe we will continue to be surprised and challenged by microbial agents," said Hughes. "It's difficult to predict what will happen next." The CDC was created as the Communicable Disease Center in 1946 to combat malaria. It became the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in 1992. For nearly 50 years, under different names, the CDC has worked with the Food and Drug Administration, the National Institutes of Health, and other agencies to face a host of challenges ranging from Legionnaire's disease to toxic shock syndrome. Together, their experts have helped to control outbreaks before they could become epidemics. Dr. Hughes told me about the newest and perhaps most dangerous virus his agency is dealing with now. Quote, "In 1994, a physician in Gallup, New Mexico, was called to care for a man who had collapsed at a funeral," he explained. "Soon the doctor found that several others in New Mexico had suffered similar symptoms. They went into sudden respiratory failure and most died. The physician called on state health authorities for help. When they couldn't identify the disease, they notified the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Quote, we had to move rapidly to discover the cause of this fatal illness," Hughes added. as victims contracted the disease, they went from seemingly perfectly healthy to flu-like symptoms to a horrific state where their lungs began to fill with blood. Most of them died. Within days, dozens of CDC personnel were working on the case. Doctors collected specimens and took histories of everything the victims had done in the days before they fell ill. Researchers went through databases and medical references, struggling to identify any infectious agent that might cause this disease. In Atlanta, scientists took blood and tissue samples into the biosafety level 4 lab, where every worker dons a spacesuit with its own air supply, and no one can enter or leave without passing through a series of airlocks and chemical showers that kill any microbial agent. Not knowing where to begin, the scientists tried everything at once, testing the victim's tissues for any bacteria or virus remotely capable of causing such havoc. Quote, the search for the agent involved looking at roughly 25 different groups of potential pathogens as candidates, Hughes noted. It also involved getting a little bit lucky. In a few weeks, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention gave a name to this strange killer, hantavirus, a rodent-borne organism that had infected many GIs during the Korean War and killed hundreds. But the Korean type of hantavirus causes death through kidney failure. Somehow, the hantavirus had found its way into the U.S. and mutated into a virus that invades the lungs.
Hopped over here.
Hatton says, son of a gun. Those magical little hoppers are really something, aren't they? Of course, the government spraying program underway at the same time surely couldn't have anything to do with this problem. This is why you're going to die of these things, readers, because you believe any stupid story they tell you. If it is hantavirus, it acts like hantavirus. So you obviously have, in this instance, a mutant, man-made organism of the original presenting, also man-made, crystalline robot synthetic organism. The virus had to be tested in New Mexico, where the Native Americans could be used as the receivers. The carrier had to be established. New Mexico is the area where the creation happened. Quote, from what we knew of the hantavirus, there was likely a rodent reservoir, Hughes said. So we sent people to trap rodents and found that the deer mouse, Paramyscus maniculatus, was the primary reservoir of the virus in New Mexico. Since it could take years to develop a cure, the solution was to stop the organism before it spread. After assembling a team of experts in public health, infectious diseases, and rodent behavior, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention began an education program teaching people how to rid their homes and workplaces of rodents and their droppings. As a result, the hantavirus outbreak in New Mexico was controlled. Hatton says, sure. I think that's what he said.
That's what I said. Taught by the paramental ridiculiosus.
There have been isolated outbreaks of related hantaviruses in New York and Louisiana, but Hughes stressed that there was no need to panic. Good rodent control techniques and avoiding closed, unventilated areas where rodents may live will minimize the risk of infection. Here's a comment by Hatton. I think it interesting that the deer mouse is a close cousin to the kangaroo rat, and both live side by side in many states, but abundantly in California, where you get $100,000 per mouse or rat for killing one of the little critters. Does something seem wrong here? They both live on the same land as the ground squirrels, which are equally protected from mankind's gentle touch. People can drop like flies from pneumonic plague, and still you get fined for trapping the little fellers. For example, at any time of the day in Tehachapi, California, in Dorm's backyard, you will see a minimum of 50 to 70 of the little Mojave ground squirrels. This is fine. We love them and love watching the children come out to play in spring. The point is, what have you come to in America when you can't protect your species from even the rats? Dr. Hughes related another case from a few years ago that illustrates why researchers at the CDC must be experts on diseases usually found in other countries. Quote, A fellow from West Africa who lived in Chicago returned to Africa for a relative's funeral. Shortly after he came back to Chicago, he went to an emergency room. The man was suffering from high fever, internal bleeding, and severe pain. The local physician got a travel history and isolated him immediately. He then called to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, which identified the man's illness as Lassa fever, one of the deadliest diseases known to medicine. Lassa fever is an infectious, contagious disease that causes massive internal bleeding and frequently is fatal. The Chicago man succumbed to the disease quickly. Hatton says, just like he was supposed to. Luckily, said Hughes, there was no transmission to healthcare workers or people he came in contact with after his return to the United States. Hughes and his colleagues knew that if a Lassa fever epidemic was allowed to develop in Africa, it would soon find its way into this country.
Let me interrupt just long enough to ask you, how lucky could it be that healthcare people didn't get this incredibly contagious, horrible disease that could wipe out nations? The reason I want to pull attention to this is the second time now they've acted like they've kept something under control, when the very idiots doing the controlling are just about as bright as Mr. Fong of the detective service, the criminalist of the LAPD, who doesn't even remember what he did yesterday or what his name is this morning. Anybody keeping up with this atrocity to justice can multiply these inept procedures that they used with the Simpson trial in almost every way with your government, from the set-up conspiracy to the idiots who will sell out for anything. I marvel at you ones. I am incredibly impressed with you ones who would willingly come back to this orb to try to save something of God.
I changed my mind.
What time shall we meet? Man, I'm about to change mine too. And I shouldn't say that right out loud.
Is it time to take a vote?
I'll get the plane. You get the...
Quote, we notified health authorities in West Africa and sent people over to assist them, he said. They discovered a large outbreak of Lassa fever. Through proper sanitation, quarantine techniques, and public education, the outbreak was stemmed before it became an epidemic. On my visit to Atlanta, I also met with the associate director of the CDC, Dr. James Curran. He has been involved in the fight against AIDS since 1981. Quote, the first 5 years, through 1985, was the age of discovery, he recalled. We discovered the global extent of the epidemic, the
virus. We discovered how to make it worse.
The virus, antibody tests, AZT. It was an exciting time, but when it ended, 500,000 people in the United States were already infected.
Son of a gun.
Today, Dr. Curran said, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's response to the AIDS epidemic has changed. We're trying to help the country evaluate the blood supply, develop test kits, and work on prevention and counseling strategies, Curran told me. Information alone isn't sufficient. We have to find ways to change behavior, especially in young people who sometimes think they're invulnerable. End of quoting. You have all you need to know about this article. Read with intelligence. First of all, through the entire article, there is deliberate referral to the CDC as, quote, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Say, what? When did prevention get on that label? There is no intent to lessen diseases. Readers only keep a good supply available out of the reach of the cure or control. The effort, further at control, is to make sure all helpful treatments are banned. You are people of the lie. Every day in the papers of your nation, every day in your papers, there is a plethora of material which could bear our lingering over. There is even a cooking page with some recipes for having fake sandwiches without bread. The inquiry was from a grandmother, Rebecca Garrett, from Greensboro, North Carolina. Quote, "My granddaughter and I have a food allergy and cannot eat wheat, oats, rye, or barley because of an inability to digest them. This means no bread, but we miss sandwiches. Please help us with a solution." Well, how do we get to know these nice Garretts? The response was, "For purely corn tortillas, fried potato pancakes, cucumbers instead of bread, and sprouts on a rice cake." No one suggested.
All of you who get the Californian, go look at those pictures and how much that mass of stuff in between two cucumber slices looks like a sandwich.
No one suggested such ridiculous solutions as Spelta, from which there are no known allergies, or fixing the allergy. My goodness, was Hosea ever right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. If you don't know your enemy, it will always be self. When you look at self and then in truth look at circumstances, you will recognize the Antichrist enemy sent to take your world by any means possible. I realize that you still consider me to be anti-Semitic. I find that as interesting as anything you conclude, since I am Semitic in origin. Not Jewish, Semitic. You are fed lies, and then when the sword falls, as it now is falling, you still don't get the picture. Clinton, for instance, is not Judean, but he sure is a Jew by the proper definition, as in the Jewish Encyclopedia. The hour grows late, readers, and the most important pathway to insight in truth is to awaken to the lies. The real descendants of Israel must awaken to their identity, to how, as a people, they have been betrayed by impostors, and to their mortal danger. You all, Christians of all creeds, must realize that, unknowingly, you have been targeted for destruction by dedicated, patient, persevering enemies for centuries. This hostility is now coming out into the open throughout the world. In war, if one is to defeat an enemy, one must know who he is, where he is, and something of his objectives and modus operandi. You must look at all. With the satanic holiday of May 1st, the incidents around the world, the new thrust and saturation of Holocaust films, etc., must allow you to see what is taking place to ensure you fit into the corrals being laid forth for your placement. You are little lambs marching to the drumbeat of Satan and moving right to the slaughter. Your president, for instance, is a tool puppet of the New World, One World Order. Oklahoma was not a patriot show and tell. It was an incident to be used like the other lies to cause you to demand your own entrapment by the federal United Nations enforcers. If that is what you want, fine. My only suggestion is to look at facts and see for sure that that is what you want. We certainly do not write for the purpose of persecution or finger pointing. Ours is to present and represent truth. This is done publicly in this forum for the possible healing of nations as mankind awakens. Truth hidden is no good. It must be known if it is to offer freedom. Satan hides, God reveals. My own task is to do the revealing as best I can through ones on your place and plane. What you do with it is your own choice and is not my business. I can show the way, but I will not drag you there. Thank you for your attention. Salute.
Let's have a break. Salute. We will decide what, if anything, you want to watch. If Zita brought the tape with Snell on it and Rick, we can look at that.
Ed put that in.